Thank you. May be seated. If you have your Bibles, if you would turn, please, to Luke chapter 11. Our text today, Luke 11, verses 1 through 4. As we continue to look at Jesus' instruction on prayer here in Luke's version of the Lord's Prayer. Scripture says that the grass withers and flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Hear now that word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us, and lead us not into temptation.'" This is God's holy, inerrant, infallible word. Well, let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, how your word blesses us. And Lord, we pray for that very thing today, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would take these words and use them, apply them in our hearts and our minds to draw us closer to you. Lord, to teach us to pray, to teach us the duty that is required of us. And Lord, we pray today that we would hear your voice in this instruction. We want to hear your voice. In your voice only, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Last week we looked at the opening division or section of this prayer, which dealt with God's glory and our instruction from Jesus is to exalt and glorify and hallow and reverence the name of God. And I sort of alluded to it last week, but I'll just ask you straight out this week. How much of your prayer time is spent in a recognition of God's glory, in praying for God's kingdom to come, in praying that God's name would be exalted among all people? And how much is spent seeking the things that will make your life better and easier and more pleasant? That is the thing that we most often pray for: our own benefit, our own happiness, our own fulfillment. Those are the things that come most naturally to us in prayer. But should that be the dominant part of our prayer? If we look at the instruction Jesus gave us in this prayer, if you just do the simple arithmetic, the answer would be no. The petition here, asking for our daily provision, is only 20% of this prayer. Are your petitions or your request for God for your own personal benefit only 20% of your prayer? Now, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just asking a question. And I think what we need to do today is look at Jesus' instruction, and perhaps that will help us gain a better balance in our prayer life. Now, last week we looked at that first division, and we said it tells us about God. It tells us about God's glory. This second division, a single petition today, tells us about man. It tells us that man is totally and completely dependent upon God. Everything that we need comes from God. Jesus taught us to pray here, give us each day our daily bread. Look first at that word, give. That tells us immediately that all the things that we receive, all these things that we desire, all these things that we need for each day are a gift from God. We are totally and completely dependent upon God and His goodness to supply the things that we need. This is a lesson that many in our world would reject. This whole idea that we are completely, totally dependent on God. That all the things that we have and need proceed as gifts from God. It is by God's divine providence and His goodness and mercy to us each day that we have these things. Now, many would say, well, no, I work hard for what I have. I've been wise. I've saved. I've been frugal with my money. I've been very good at my job. I've advanced and I've gotten promotions and I've made more money and I've, you know, filled the pantry and the freezer full of food. And they don't see a need to pray day by day for these things. But they fail to realize that these things can vanish in an instant. These things can disappear much quicker than they came. But as Calvin said in regard to this, it doesn't matter how much bread you have. It is by God's grace that you are able to use that bread each day, that you are able to eat it, and that your body is able to process that and turn it into strength and health. That is God's gift. God gives you that gift each day. And that process goes on every day. You eat your food. You share in this goodness of God. And your body incredibly, in untold ways, processes that and turns it into energy, strength, growth, and health. And it does it all without you knowing about it. In fact, the only time you know about it is when something goes wrong in that process. You don't ever give it another thought other than that. In fact, you know, I think, much more about these processes and how this worked than Calvin ever knew, given the advances in science and medicine and all this with which we are familiar. But Calvin understood one thing, the biblical principle behind this word give, that all that we receive, all that we have, is a gift from God. The ability to work, the ability to be wise with your money, the wisdom to do all these things, all that flows from God. That is a gift from God that He gives us. The ability to have your bread and eat it in peace, the ability for that to be turned into things that your body can use. All these things come from God, and that recognition that these come from God, I think, is exactly what Jesus implies here in this word, give us, is a gift. Is a gift that we should not take lightly each day. You don't take it lightly when something goes wrong. There are all kinds of things that go wrong in our intestinal digestive processes. When those go wrong, you're very aware of it. But day by day, we take those things for granted. But God gives us that blessing each day. And that is the next thing that we need to recognize. We're dependent on God. We need this gift. And it is not an occasional thing. It's a recognition that we need this each day. It's a continual need for God's goodness to us day by day. God provides what we need each and every day. There is a tendency in our world to think that, well, I've accumulated much, I'm okay. I don't know if I really need to, you know, ask for food today or ask for this today or ask for that. I'm doing pretty good. And what that does is fail to recognize the place of God in our life each day, of His provision each day for us. In our Old Testament reading today, we saw that powerfully demonstrated in the Exodus. These people had come out of Egypt. And they're out in the desert. And they're starving to death. Now let's get this in perspective, because most of our conceptions of this are from Cecil B. DeMille or some Bible story book. There's well over 1 million people here in this group. And they're moving from place to place. There's no time to grow crops. You know, that's a process. You don't plant the seeds and eat the next day. 50, 60, 70 days go by before there's anything to harvest. These people will all be dead, even if they weren't in the desert. It's a little tough to raise crops in the desert. So they have this need. And they look at this, and they're grumbling. You read it. Our brother Jay read it to you this morning. In Egypt, we had plenty of food, and you've brought us out here to die. But God miraculously provided bread for them from heaven. And they got an omer per person per day. That's about 2 quart jars full. So we got about 2 million quart jars worth of food coming down from heaven every day for these folk, with one very particular rule that he read to you. You can only gather enough for today, except on the sixth day. You can gather enough for 2 days, because there's not going to be any tomorrow, being the Sabbath. But some of the people were a little nervous about that. They were hungry. God had provided food, but what if it's not going to be there tomorrow? So they got some extra. And it was stinking and full of maggots and worms the next morning. The point of all that is that they have to trust God for what they need today. And the point is that the God who so miraculously and wondrously provided for them today will provide for them tomorrow. You see, that's one of the things that people in our world worry about. They worry about tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You know, there are 2 great unrealities which plague the people of our world. There are 2 things that are not present realities that cause most of the stress and upset, discord among folk. One is the remorse and regret and guilt about yesterday. We had plenty of food in Egypt. I kind of wish we were back there. I kind of wish I'd never come on this trip with y'all. That plagues us about many things. And the other is the worry about tomorrow. And those 2 things work against us, because if you'll notice what Jesus says here, it's about today. God will take care of you today. He has taken care of you so far today and will continue to do so. And He is a faithful God, a powerful God who did that today. He will also do it tomorrow. Why are you worried about that? Now, this is no occasion for people not to work. Paul said, if any would not work, neither should he eat. It's a lesson that needs to be learned by many people in this land in which we live. But it is not a worry. It is not putting your trust in that. It's putting your trust in God, understanding that all these things are a gift from Him, that this gift comes day by day. It is a continual need that we have, and is the continual goodness of God that provides those needs. And as I said, this is a problem for a pragmatic, hardworking, independent-minded folk like make up this country, people with freezers and refrigerators and canned food and all that, and sometimes we don't see the need to pray. Lord, give me my food today. We've got food for today. The pantry's full. There's money in the bank. But that is putting the trust where? Putting trust in me. Putting trust in you and in your pantry and not in God. It is God who provides those things for us. It is by God's gift that we have those things. And we are to pray each day for those things. This is our dependence upon God that Christ lays out for us here. And it is a gift and it is a daily need that we have. And we have a God who is powerful and loving and merciful to provide that for us day by day. Notice next these pronouns here. Give us, our, us and our. There is no first person singular pronoun in this. There's no I, no me, no mine, no mine. It's us and our. You know, I loves to be the subject of every sentence. We all love to be the topic of the sentence at hand. If you don't believe it, just listen to your own conversation sometime. I is the dominant word. And when we go to prayer, that's often reflected in prayer. It's I. It's me. It's my. It's mine. Who is the us? You might ask that question. Who is us? Sounds a little bit like the question of the Pharisee in the parable of the Good Samaritan a few weeks ago. Who is my neighbor? Who is the us? Well, I have one suggestion for you. We said last week, this is a prayer for Christians. Only those who have come through Jesus, the Son, can call God Father. I would say to you, the us is those who belong to the family of God, those who are of God's household. Paul wrote to the Galatians, Galatians 6:10, he says, as you have opportunity, do good to all men, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. We are one family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Does your prayer ever center around the us? Do you ever pray for us? Do you ever pray for the destitute parts of the church who don't have air conditioning or heat, who may not have food today, who may not be able to meet in a place like this in safety with full stomachs and warm clothes? Do you ever pray for the destitute parts of the church? Do you ever pray for your brothers and sisters in Christ gathered around you at this moment? I mean, pray for their needs. Pray for their food today. Pray that they will have what they need. Is that ever part of your prayer life? You know, Jesus directs us here, us and our. We most often pray in private. We most often pray alone. But if our prayers were turned away from I and toward us, there would be a shortening of much of our prayer, but there would be an expanding of much of our prayer as it included the needs of us, of the family of God, of those who are part of God's family. I think this is striking in this prayer. You know, it is to pray to give us our daily bread. Give us our bread each day. Do you see what's behind this petition? Do you see what's involved here? It's faith. It is faith in God. It is knowing that everything that you have in your hand at this moment came as a gift from God. Much or little, it doesn't matter. Whatever you have is from God. It is by His goodness and mercy that you have what you have. And it is a recognition of that. A recognition of that that puts all these things in their proper perspective. The world and the flesh press in on us every day and say, well, you got to have this and you need that and you would like to have some of this. It is a recognition of the things that are important. The things that the world tries to push out of the way with all these needs that aren't really needs. And it tends to obscure the important things like eternal life and God's glory and obedience to His revealed will. We're so absorbed with needs and wants that it flows over into our prayer life. And our prayer life becomes needs and wants, but it's not tempered with a recognition that all these things proceed from God. They're all gifts of God to us. The epitome of faith is to pray day by day, each day. Quit worrying about tomorrow and next week and next year. Again, this is not an invitation to be lazy and not work and not save and not be frugal, not to cease being a slave to the lender. Those are all biblical principles that are set down in Scripture. But what this is looking to today. Tomorrow is promised to no one. You have today. God will provide for today. And if God is powerful and gracious and loving enough to provide for today, why do you doubt He will provide tomorrow? It's about faith. Faith in God. A little faith in a great God. It's all you need. Faith also shows itself in concern for others. Considering others better than yourself, the Scripture says. Being concerned about the family of God. Being concerned about those for whom Christ died. Christ was concerned enough about them to die for them just as He died for you. Can't you be concerned about their needs enough to pray for them, enough to lift them up before the throne of God today and say, Lord, give us, give the family of God, the destitute parts of the church, give to my brothers and sisters here at Pleasant Grove Presbyterian Church their needs today. Pray for them. That takes time away from praying for me. But Jesus instructed us to pray for us and our needs. Those who have been redeemed by Christ. Those who have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ are members of that family, that household, that great household of God, and we should be concerned about that house. If you're in that number, if you've been blessed by having your heart changed, by understanding the gospel, if you've been redeemed by the blood of Christ, Listen to what Paul says in Romans 8. That God, who gave his own son, God who was not afraid to give his son for us. Paul says, how will he not also graciously give us all things? He's already given the greatest thing he could give. Why would he withhold anything else from you? He knows your needs. He has given you that which you did not deserve. Eternal life through Jesus Christ, through his Son. He who did not withhold his Son from us. How will he not also with him give us all things to make you part of that family? He gave his Son that you could be called the sons and daughters of God. That you can call the Lord God Almighty Father. That your Father is the one who knows the name of every star. Who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The one who says the gold and the silver is mine. Why would you doubt his ability to provide? Why would you question? Put your faith in him. Jesus said, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father give good gifts to those who ask him? Let us ask in faith, never doubting. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your gracious and mighty provision for us. Lord, everything that we have is from your hand. And Lord, we thank you and praise you. Lord, help us, Lord, to pray in faith, looking each day for that day's needs, not only for ourselves, but for others, for those in your family. Lord, as we have opportunity, let us help those, but especially those who belong to the household of faith. Lord, teach us. Lord, teach us that all this is from your hand, that you are almighty and all-powerful, and Lord, that you will provide. You've already provided us the greatest thing that we could ever have, freely, without price. Lord, how will you not also give us all things? Lord, strengthen our faith, we pray. Lord, heal our unbelief. And Lord, help us to walk in the light of who we are, the sons and daughters of the Lord God Almighty, who has everything in his hand. Lord, help us. Help us to live in the light of who we are. Lord, may we bring you glory and honor in doing that. We ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. If you'll stand, please, and turn to number 493, we will sing together.